I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, maybe a little hope for justice. One of the suspects who assaulted me outside an ICE facility near Seattle last year has been charged. Plus, proof that California is providing illegal alien homeless individuals with cosmetic procedures like breast augmentations. And King County's new effort at fair enforcement is an absolute joke. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. A little housekeeping off the top. We have no live shows next week. Nicole and I are taking a much-needed vacation in the sun, hopefully. It snowed by my house today, which I was like, are you kidding me? It's insane. But we will have some content out next week, but we won't have live shows. So don't be coming here at noon on Monday looking for me. I won't be here. All right, maybe some justice. This is such an odd thing because I have some kind of complaints about the criminal justice system, but also I'm very happy to deliver this news. So as you guys know, I was attacked by multiple far-left agitators in June of last year outside an ICE facility in Tukwila. There was an anti-ICE riot there, where they were attempting, I guess, to block the flow of cars in and out of the facility to stop some of these immigration hearings. I arrived on scene within 30 seconds. They identified me, called me out, started calling me a Nazi, threw things at me. Several of them assaulted me. Somebody attempted to blind me with wasp killer, so I had to have my eyes drained. On scene there, just an insane situation. So at the time, I filed a police report with the Tukwila Police Department. And on this show just last week, I went on this long rant about the fact that no one had been charged in that case. And it really frustrated me because it's the reason why we see so much political violence from the far left in places like Seattle and Minneapolis and California. It's because for so many years, they've been allowed and they've gotten away with acts of violence and vandalism. And specifically, they target on a regular basis individuals who they deem as not friendly journalists or too conservative. You know, and even though I consider myself now a conservative political commentator, I was also assaulted and attacked by Antifa factions when I was on mainstream news. And so I said on the show last week, until they start being charged and prosecuted, nothing is going to change. Well, then I'm sitting at home. I think it was, Monday when I got this news? Maybe Tuesday? And I open the mail and I get this subpoena from the municipal court of Tukwila. Just one page that says that a woman named Fabiana Cantera Sylvester has been charged by the city of Tukwila. First I heard about it. Apparently, and this is the woman that they've charged.
Don't touch me with that sign, that's assault.
So you're okay to be in my face, but don't touch me with that sign. Who hit me multiple times, followed me, wouldn't let me leave the area. They identified her as 30-year-old Fabiana Cantera Sylvester of Seattle, and they charged her back in December. And I'm finding out about it, and this is my only complaint. I'm glad they charged her. Here's the information from the Tukwila prosecutor's office. Two misdemeanors, count one, assault in the fourth degree, where she can serve up to a year in jail, and assault two, disorderly conduct. Apparently, that doesn't have to do with me. That has to do with the fact that they say that she was part of this group of protesters. They must have determined this by looking at other footage of the day. According to the police report, it says the Tukwila Civil Disturbance Unit had to move the protesters from the driveway to allow the employees of the building to escape. The protesters threw water bottles at fully uniformed officers and resisted moving off the sidewalk and driveway. And so she's being charged not only for her attack on me, but also for her disorderly conduct outside the ICE facility that day. Now, I'm happy to hear that, obviously. I will admit I'm a little frustrated because this is the second time I've had a case involving violence or threats of violence against me where I don't find out. They don't tell you they charge someone. And I think that's odd. And maybe that's just how our criminal justice system is now. But if you have the victim of a crime, don't you think that's your first call or notification? if you're going to charge the individual who assaulted them. So I'm slightly frustrated about that. And I knew that at the end of December, I had gone down to Tukwila and I did a photo lineup and they gave me six photos and I very easily identified, despite the fact that her face was covered with a mask, I very easily identified the suspect. Obviously, I was able to positively ID her and they moved forward with the charges. I just wish I had known before I got my notice that I might have to appear in court because she wants to take this thing to trial. Unfortunately, they still haven't identified the two other individuals, including this guy here, who was about the bottom of the barrel from humanity. If you've ever seen the video of how he speaks to me, the words that he uses, he also hit me from behind with a sign, very brave, covered his face with a mask. Police have yet to identify him. And then unfortunately, because I think this is the of the trio, the individual I want the most, they have not identified the person who tried to blind me with Wasp Killer. Yeah, and I mean, I hate going back and watching and editing video of any time I've been attacked in the field because it is a traumatic thing. I mean, I've been through it so many times, but you never go there seeking it. I mean, you never go there to instigate it. As I said, you know, this attack on me happened within 30 seconds of arriving. I hadn't spoken to anyone. I was off to the side getting some video, and I try at every juncture to walk away and to move down the street while still trying to capture images of the suspects who were doing this. And there is absolutely a frustration that somebody who tried to blind me, can't be identified. And that's one of the reasons why these factions hide their identities, is that has worked for them in the past. Now, I would like the feds to take that case. I'm happy the city of Tukwila is sticking with this case. I don't know why this young woman wants to take it to trial, considering she's on camera, and you hear me even warn her, you know, when you hit me with that, that's assault. And she continues to do it repeatedly. There's witnesses there. So I don't know what kind of defense she plans to mount against that. I would just take the L and plead guilty and try to move on with your life. But in the case of the individual who tried to blind me with Wasp Killer, I think that's a case the feds can and should take. You know, we've pointed out the fact that after January 6th, the FBI under Biden used every available tool, you know, were able to determine what cell phones were in an area and went down for years across the country and knocked on doors to try to see if people were part of the mob on January 6th. And I'm not saying necessarily I agreed with those tactics, but they have the ability for any of these riots, for any of these acts of political violence, to go out and to figure out who was there and to try to match people to individuals in the mob. And I would really encourage the federal government to do that in a case like this, because if it's not me, they had a whole case of this Wasp Killer. One of the things that we noticed as we were trying to investigate this on our own is one of the individuals holding a sign, there was a barcode on the back, and some very astute viewers looked up the SKU number that was on the barcode and it came back to this Wasp Killer. So that tells me they had a whole box of this stuff. Why? Well, it's because it sprays a long distance and it can do a lot of damage to people if it hits them in the eye, because the Wasp Killer is what you spray up in the eaves, right? It's not like bug repellent, it's Wasp Killer. And so if they weren't using it on me, who do you think they were going to use it on? The feds. They were going to use it on the Tukwila police officers that were there. They probably did. And so this is a weapon for them. And so it's not just about protecting, oh, independent journalists, although I think it's important to protect any journalist from violence out in the field, but it's also about, they're also doing this to cops. They're also doing this to federal agents. And we just had the story last week of our friend Savannah Hernandez, a reporter with Turning Point USA, brutally attacked outside an ICE facility in Minneapolis. We know two of the individuals who attacked her are going to be charged. Hennepin County has declined to charge the mother. So it was parents and a daughter. They've charged the father and the daughter, but don't think there's ample evidence to charge the mother, even though she was forcefully shoving a dildo towards Savannah Hernandez's face, which I believe should be against the law, and seemed to make contact with her. And after that happened, and Savannah said, and I agree with her, that we've been through this enough to know that some of these blue jurisdictions don't take assault seriously if they happen against conservatives. Because again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know if you had mobs of right-wingers going around the country and attacking like regular reporters who were out doing doing their job, you don't think those local jurisdictions would immediately do something about it because the media would pressure them to. The media would be like, oh, brutal right-wing attack, political attack on members of the press just trying to do their jobs. But when it happens to someone like me or someone like Savannah Hernandez, the media doesn't care. They love it. They love it. They want us attacked. And I really believe that with every fiber of my being. And so Vice President J.D. Vance, after that attack, he was at a Turning Point USA event, and he said that he agrees that the feds need to start taking these cases because the local jurisdictions don't care.
I talked to Cash Patel on the way down here, and I said, I assume that we're doing something here. And he said, yes, we've had multiple agents on the ground. We've already talked to Savannah. We're going to use the video to try to go after the people who assaulted her and then try to defund the networks that fund those radicals who are going around assaulting activists. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. That's what they should be doing. We literally went, and I went with Savannah to the White House to urge them to do stuff like that. I don't know that we've seen a lot of meaningful progress in that area from the federal government. They have the tools to be able to do this stuff and to do it quickly. And so I need to see more from them. Words aren't enough. We need action from them. But again, I appreciate the Tukwila Police Department and the Tukwila City Prosecutor for pursuing this case as long as they have, for taking it seriously. Maybe they can use this woman to try to identify the other two suspects in the case, because the one who tried to blind me with wasp killer, that's a felony assault. And so certainly that's someone who's very dangerous and who I'd like identified and I think should spend some time in jail. So apparently they're going to take that to trial. I'll keep you guys updated on how that goes. But I would like the feds to intervene, and I'm going to send some messages in that regard to some individuals who we've met, you know, as part of our trip to the White House to see if they can't make that happen. All right. You know, my favorite topic is Washington State paying for laser hair removal and boob jobs for transgender prison inmates. But it turns out we're not the only state doing this, and it goes well beyond prison inmates to homeless individuals and also to illegal aliens in the state of California. So our friend, the intrepid Jonathan Cho, he was down in California. It was a joint investigation with City Journal, Christopher Rufo. And Cho went out there on the streets and he met at the Embarcadero Safe Navigation Center, which is a city-funded shelter. He met a woman named Jacqueline, who, as you'll see, has quite the set of knockers paid for by California taxpayers.
What is your name again?
Jacqueline.
Yeah. Jacqueline.
This is the first time I live in a shelter.
Yeah. A lot of Latino here, so definitely some are migrants or undocumented.
I think that. And me as a trans woman,
yeah.
I feel safe.
Were you able to get the hormones or, you know?
Yeah, I did that with my doctor.
So Medi-Cal, you got the breast implants?
Yes.
Wow, taxpayer funded. So here in California, they gave you the breast implant here?
Yes.
Free?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Do you feel like that's a good benefit for other migrants here in California?
Yeah, even though you're undocumented, you can get it.
Did you do bottom too? Bottom surgery?
I'm waiting for that one.
Wow, you're waiting for bottom surgery. Okay. Are you happy with the results?
Yes.
I mean, what world are we living in? You don't think I'd like a nice pair of knockers for free? Nichols, like, I mean, I'm getting older. The gravity is going to take effect. And what does it cost to get a boob job these days? 10 grand, probably?
I mean, I think it used to cost 10. It's probably
10, 15,
more now.
Mm-hmm. More than that. And I mean, you got LA surgeons there probably providing them. They're probably 20 grand. Yeah, totally cosmetic inflation, literally and figuratively. It's a totally cosmetic procedure that the taxpayers should never pay for. Should never pay for, regardless of who it is. I don't care if it's a citizen. I don't care if it's a prison inmate who's transgender under the care of the state of California or the state of Washington, and certainly not if it's an illegal alien homeless person who went down on their luck, but they still got to have a nice rack. I mean, I don't understand how anyone can be okay with that. I did this lengthy interview with Sean Scott, a social estate lawmaker, and a big part of our conversation centered around, oh, we're in a budget crisis and they're making cuts, but you're still paying millions of dollars for these cosmetic procedures for transgender prison inmates. Today, there's a listing with the Department of Corrections for a doctor. What were they getting paid? Like almost $300,000 a year to provide this specialized transgender care to prison inmates. When you've got a trans population in our prisons that's just like a few people, and they're spending millions of dollars on it. And so I really struggle with who is justifying this and making these decisions. A little more from City Journal. So Christopher Ruffo wrote a story that went along with some of what Jonathan Cho uncovered. Oh, Jonathan, you're happy with the results? Is that man the funniest man on the planet?
He's good.
He is absolutely really hilarious. Good. So Christopher Ruffo writes, we discovered not only that the shelters were housing illegal immigrants, but also that they were apparently housing a population of male to female transgender illegal aliens who had hoped to obtain gender affirming care. And to our shock, state and local governments apparently are providing it. Sometimes these policies are hidden under euphemisms. Other times, however, they are more explicit. At the end of our trip, we visited a third government-funded shelter, the Timon Bhutan Navigation Center, which is focused on transgender, gender nonconforming, and intersex people. So there's a navigation center specifically for that group of individuals. It says the center does not post its address publicly and displays a sign referring to what appears to be its former name, the Bryant Street Navigation Center. Outside the facility, which did not respond to our request for comment, we met a group of male to female transgender illegal aliens who told us they wanted to receive transgender medical treatment. He says, apparently word has traveled down the continent to the transgender communities in Mexico, Honduras, and elsewhere. If you make it all the way to California, the government will pay for your shelter, hormones, and surgeries. No questions asked. And I will say, given how much we've talked about similar policies in Washington State and spending taxpayer money on something that no one with a brain thinks makes any sense in the world, I'm not 100% surprised to hear this is happening in California. After all, there was that political ad, probably a political ad that helped President Trump win re-election, where Kamala Harris is on video talking about how she supports these things.
He murdered a father of three, sentenced to life in prison. Kamala Harris pushed to use tax dollars to pay for his sex change.
I made sure that they changed the policy so that every transgender inmate would have access.
It sounds insane because it is insane. Kamala was the first to help pay for a prisoner's sex change.
The power that I had, I used it in a way that was about pushing for the movement, frankly, and the agenda.
Kamala's agenda is they, them, not you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
Yeah, one of several ads in that regard that showed. I mean, Kamala Harris running for president of the United States was not ashamed to say that she supported taxpayer funds to give violent criminals sex reassignment surgery. For the love of God. And that's why when people want to, especially on the right now, they want to bitch and moan about Donald Trump and Iran and all this stuff. It's like, okay, that's the alternative, though. That's the alternative, though. So I'm fine. I mean, I don't agree with President Trump on everything, but I know what the alternative is. And the alternative is open borders. The alternative is, as we're going to discuss later in the show, trying to put ICE agents in prison. The alternative is using the money that we work hard for every single day and ask very little in return to give violent criminals and illegal aliens boob jobs and laser hair removal and bottom surgery. The alternative is not an option. Literally, no matter how high gas prices go, the alternative is not an option, at least not for me, and at least not for people with common sense to know just how bad things were getting in the United States of America. Radical, radical stuff. All right, coming up next, a guy contacted our show saying he tried to leave his union, was able to leave the union, but they didn't stop taking his money and refused to do so. We'll discuss first. Are you concerned about the future of your retirement portfolio? I think there's a lot happening globally and nationally. Before we know it, there's going to be a new presidential election upon us. And so I think those things are always causes for concern because they introduce risk, more risk into the environment. So our friend Zach Abram at Bulwark Capital can help you figure out whether your retirement portfolio is exposed to too much risk. Sign up for one of his free Know Your Risk portfolio reviews. Go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. He'll go over the fundamentals of value investing, do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower your risk, lower your cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com, and schedule your time for a free Know Your Risk portfolio review. All right, we talk a lot about the union mob mentality, and I mean, they're just short of huddling people into a room who don't want to be part of the union and breaking their kneecaps. I wouldn't be surprised if that's happened somewhere along the way. So the Professional and Technical Employees 17 Union, this is a story, or this is a Seattle City Employees Union. Back in January, we did a story about how they were using their platform as a union and sending out emails like this one to their union members that were, you know, just vehemently anti-ICE. They were talking about organizing a protest at the King County International Airport to protest ICE deportations. And again, this is a union representing City of Seattle employees. And I'm sure a lot of those employees are far leftists, but not all of them are. And they were talking about putting together whistle kits and all these things they could do to basically go out and harass ICE agents trying to carry out lawful immigration laws. So we do that story, and a viewer saw it, and they're a member of Protect 17, and they decided, okay, that's enough. I'm going to opt out, because I think the message that we've sent is, do you want your dues going to this? And you can legally opt out, and you're still technically, you know, get the benefits of the union in a sense, because if they negotiate a contract, I mean, you're going to get that. You're not left out of that. So I really don't think there's a downside to opting out. And so this viewer decided, okay, I'm going to opt out. I don't want to be part of the union anymore. So he had told them, hey, I'm going to opt out. Here's why. And he requested that they stop deducting his union dues. Isn't getting a response on that. Isn't getting any confirmation. And his union dues are still coming out. And he's like, WTF. So he sends him an email, January 15th. Hello, I'm writing to confirm that I have sent by certified mail my written notice revoking union membership and authorization for dues deductions, including the requested wet signature. I have not received confirmation by the union or the city in my past two emails regarding confirmation in writing that my union dues have ceased being deducted from my paycheck effective immediately. So they responded, the membership administrator for Protect 17. Hello, thank you for sending your letter. We'll be on the lookout for it. I also mailed you a Protect 17 membership termination form, including a copy of your signed payroll authorization and dues agreement contract that you signed in 2022. My cover letter explains the terms of your dues contract in full. In sum, your membership will be terminated effective with receipt of your wet signature on either our form or your forthcoming certified letter. However, your dues payments will be canceled after the anniversary of the date you signed your agreement. A copy is in the mail for you, but I've attached it below. So they sent him a reminder of what he signed. And they basically said that because he didn't cancel in time, they were going to continue to deduct dues until the anniversary of his signing. Which, remember, he's reaching out in January of this year. The anniversary of his signing was 12/29/2022. So it didn't matter that in the very first month of the year, he said, I no longer want to pay you my union dues. They're like, no, we're going to collect them for an entire year anyway. Which is mob mentality. And you can make an argument, well, I mean, he did sign this agreement that if he wanted to opt out, he would have had to do it before December 29th, 2025. But again, this is, again, the union, they're criminal mobsters. So even if you want to opt out, make sure you know what the agreement is and how long they're going to continue to charge you. And he even contacted, I think, the City of Seattle's like payroll division, because it goes out of the paycheck. And they said that they wouldn't stop deducting the memberships until they heard from the union that it was okay to do so. So it's like, who's running what around here?
He also consulted an attorney, and the attorney was like, sorry, we've lost this one before.
Yep, you did it. The unions are, so unless you want to get into a protracted legal battle. So I think it's a good reminder. Optouttoday.com. Optouttoday.com. For any union that you're part of, you have the right to opt out. You can click on the state, click on your union. It'll be listed there. It'll take you through the steps to be able to opt out. They can also help connect you to services that can make up for some of the things that you might lose by not being a member of the union. So they help you out in that regard, but you should know when you need to opt out by, so that you don't continue paying a union that you hate for another year like this viewer did, because maybe there's not a way around it. All right, Governor Bob Ferguson of Washington State is on a roll when it comes to appointing activist judges. He appointed a couple people to the state Supreme Court, one of whom had never been a judge before, but had donated some money to his campaign, appointed another person who'd also donated some money to his campaign. And now he's appointed this woman to King County Superior Court, Tanya Scheinman. Scheinman joins the King County bench with more than 20 years of diverse legal experience. So first, a little bit about her. She's an avid bicycle commuter who enjoys exploring and connecting with King County's neighborhoods as she rides through. She volunteers with the Cascade Bicycle Club, including delivering groceries by bicycle to neighbors in need. Now, I think that's nice. Delivering groceries to neighbors in need is a nice thing, but the Cascade Bicycle Club is an extension of the Democratic Socialists of Seattle. Mm-hmm. So they are as far left cuckoo fringe as you can get, which makes sense because she also volunteered as an attorney with the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project, which is anti-ICE, anti-Trump, anti-law and order, and pro-open borders. So that's the kind of person you're getting on the King County bench. It also says that since 2024, her most recent job is she has been an attorney at the King County Inquest Program in Seattle. Ah, yes, I'm sure you know what an inquest is. She provides and presents evidence to juries investigating the facts and circumstances of death involving law enforcement. Yeah, so she tries to put cops in prison. That's what she's been doing since 2024. Her full-time job, trying to put cops in prison. Northwest Immigrants' Rights Project, Cascade Bicycle Club, and now brand new, newest King County Superior Court judge. I'm sure we won't be hearing any stories about people who she lets out on no bail while they're pending sentencing, or people she gives very, very low sentences to. So we're going to keep an eye on Tanya Scheinman and see what kind of job she does. All right, coming up next, remember there was all this angst over fare enforcement on King County Metro? Because it's like, we can't enforce fares. That's racist. That's classist. And then the public transit turned into an absolute S-show nightmare. And so they're like, okay, we're not making money, nobody's paying the fares, and there's just bums and drug users everywhere. We have to do fare enforcement. So they started doing it. The new numbers are out. It's even more laughable than you might think. We'll get to that in our segment, Unbelievable. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in Washington State, the most powerful tool that you can have in your corner is a membership to the Rental Housing Association of Washington. And they're advocates on your side to help you navigate insane rules and regulations around housing policy. They can also help you keep up to date on all the forms you need, screening forms, etc. And then all year round, they're advocating in your best interest in cities and counties that are trying to push new housing policies and down in Olympia during the legislative session. And they have events all year long as well, which I think are interesting for anyone interested in politics in Washington State, specifically housing policy, builders, developers, yes, landlords. So you can check out their education and events on their website as well. But go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers and just fighting for better housing policy for all of us in Washington State. And with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. I was trying to catch you in one, Nicole. Good, you're on it. Okay, so we've been on this wild ride with fare enforcement for King County Metro, where it's like, well, of course we got to enforce fares. If you have a fare and you don't enforce it, what's the point of having a fare? Because people won't pay. But they weren't enforcing it because people said it was racist. They were disproportionately ticketing people of color and the homeless and all of this. It's like, yeah, of course they're disproportionately ticketing the homeless, because I'm guessing the homeless aren't paying their fares. And then you had these buses and trains that just turned into de facto drug dens, because they wouldn't pay the fare and they just ride them all night, ride them all day, do their drugs on there. And it was a whole ordeal. So even Democrats in Seattle started calling for fare enforcement. So King County Metro said, okay, we're going to do fare enforcement. And they've released this 2025 Bus Fare Enforcement and Fare Violation Program Review. So this looks at how the new attempts at fare enforcement went in 2025. Not well. So for an entire year, you guys, they gave out 8 tickets, okay? Well, you might think, well, Brandy, then maybe, you know, people are just paying their fares. No. During May to December of 2025, they issued a total of 2,186 warnings. 2,186 warnings and only 8 citations. to 7 riders. So one rider got 2. 2,186 warnings, 8 citations.
And if you look at it, I think that they're saying, so 2,103 people. So that means they gave a bunch of people too.
Yeah, they gave some people 2 warnings. And hey, of those 8 citations, you'll be happy to know that none of them were paid. Literally none of them. So you know how much money they collected from their fare enforcement operation? $0. $0 from May to December of 2025. But they did pay 30 fare enforcement officers to patrol 10 routes. So they paid 30 fare enforcement officers to give 8 citations, none of which were ever paid. I mean, can you make up something more laughable than this? 2025, no citations were resolved. This is largely due to unreliable methods of communication, such as a rider giving an unspecific address, no phone number, or the address of a known shelter. Of the 8 citations distributed, there were 7 unique riders who received the citations. Of the 7 riders who received those citations, 4 did not give a phone number, and 2 gave a shelter address. Often, riders experiencing housing instability do not have reliable means of contact. This information suggests that several of the riders who received a citation in 2025 may have been experiencing housing instability. Oh, you don't say! They gave you a shelter address? And you have come to the brilliant conclusion that they may have been experiencing housing instability. So how much did we pay for this report, for the 30 fare enforcement officers, for all the time they're out there on patrol, any time or effort they went through trying to collect on the 8 tickets that they weren't able to get any money from? At that point, just let people ride for free, because we're just wasting money on a fare enforcement program that doesn't seem to be working. But I will say one bonus. They were able to determine through this that they are not, in fact, blatant racists. Yep, 62.5% of the people issued citations were white, 37% were black. And so they have proven one thing through spending all this money, hiring 30 fare enforcement officers to do essentially nothing, is they can say, see, we're not racist.
No specific
trends. We're not racist at all. No specific trends to be able to glean from any of this.
Other than maybe the homeless trend.
You can't make up something more laughable than that. And we already saw, like with Sound Transit, for instance, that it's already become that new line that goes across to Mercer Island. It's already become a drug den.
Oh, yeah.
And there is call after call at the Mercer Island, which is like this beautiful, if you're not familiar, it's like where the rich people live. And now Seattle's just pumping all the homeless drug addicts to go. That's an easy way for them to get to the multi-million dollar homes and steal your stuff. And the worst part is Mercer Island, a lot of them are voting for these policies and voting for people that think that these policies are acceptable. So I really don't have any sympathy for them.
I also think, so if you're riding the bus, you don't necessarily have to bring your ID, right? So if they write you a ticket, they're just going based on whatever you say your name is.
I mean, they're not like, yes, 100%. So you're not arrested.
Penalty.
No,
there's no penalty. And even if they think that they may have given you a ticket before, how do they know? So you can write every day and get a warning every single day.
You can say, oh,
who's going to know?
Yeah, no. And that's probably why they've given multiple warnings, is because, you know, somebody, they just said, oh, I've never got a ticket before or whatever it is.
Change your name.
It's absolutely insane. So should they even continue with this program or not? I don't know. If you don't have the cojones to actually issue enforceable citations, then what is the point? What's the point? 2,100 warnings? What's the point of that?
Well, honest people pay.
Well, right.
Like, I mean, they just talk the honest people into paying for the whole system that everyone is using.
You know that you're not paying your fare. So that's my question is, why the warning? Mm-hmm. You know that you're not paying the fare. So what is the purpose of a warning?
It's not like your foot slipped on the gas a little and you were just keeping up with the car in front of you and like you accidentally sped. So you get a warning,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
There's no accidentally forgot to pay when I passed the booth or the little machines.
Right, exactly. No. So it's like warning you that, oh, as a reminder, you have to pay to ride the bus. Yeah, they know they have to pay to ride the bus. Just wild. All right, we'll get to our segment, Florida Report, coming up next. A lot going on in Florida this week. First, it is April. As I said, I had snow overnight at my house. which is absolutely insane. It's April 16th. And so weather can change at a moment's notice in Washington State, as you know. And so you need to make sure that your roof is up to the task and that your gutters are up to the task, because that can have some disastrous, expensive consequences if not. And the good news is our friends at Valentine Roofing, they have a bundle deal going on right now. Right now, you can bundle and save 10% off your entire project when you add new gutters to any new roof. And of course, if you're replacing your roof, you might as well replace your gutters anyway. So that makes a lot of sense. And you get 10% off. And Valentine offers those gutter guards to help keep leaves and needles out for good, giving you an additional layer of defense against clogged and overflowing gutters. So Valentine is great. I've had them at my house, total pros, and they get all sorts of awards for being the best roofing company around. I trust them with my home. You can trust them with your home too. Call 206 Roofing to schedule your free estimate and take advantage of that bundle and save deal as well. All right, it is Thursday. That's when we check in on what's happening in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
All right. So Florida, taking a page out of President Trump's playbook, he, you know, is trying to ramp up their fraud investigation, put J.D. Vance on the case. Florida launching its own fraud crackdown. What does it entail?
Yeah, so this task force is going to include prosecutors, law enforcement officials, and a dedicated prosecutor to lead the efforts in basically preventing, finding early signs of fraud, and also deterring fraud from happening in the future, mainly within a lot of these programs to help like families and children and stuff like that, because the money's just not going where it should. So yeah, we want to make sure it does.
And when you got programs that are so big, you know, I think there's a huge blue state fraud issue and they're less eager to look into it. But there's obviously fraud across the political spectrum. And so certainly they're going to find some things in Florida when they really start digging into it. Here is Attorney General James how do you say his last name?
Utmeyer
warning would-be fraudsters.
But we're going to make some examples. If you're out there and you're thinking about stealing from the government through one of these programs, you better think again, because we're shining a light. We're looking. We're going to be prosecuting Scott Strauss, Kathy, Mark, and our team. We're going to be coming for you, and we're going to put you away for a long time.
Love that. And part of it is the messaging, right? Letting people know that, no, we're not just ignoring all this money that's going out the door. We're going to start looking closer at fraud, and maybe it does dissuade from some people from stealing or embezzling or wasting, et cetera.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I think Florida's done a really good job of that across the board when it comes to preventative measures and just making sure there's like a really strong narrative out trying to make sure that people are dissuaded from entering the state if they're not legal citizens. Yeah. and this kind of stuff. So
yeah, he mentioned Mark there. Mark Glass is the commissioner of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. He also had a message for the would-be or current fraudsters.
Committing fraud in this great state is a crime. Committing this crime or this fraud against public assistance programs, taking it away from the much needy persons that need this and to help us, and to help them, it's just inexcusable. If you're doing that in this great state, I want you to go to the mirror right now, look at yourself in the mirror, and just yell, thief, because that's what you are.
I love that. I actually picture somebody doing that, looking in the mirror. Thief! Maybe try to talk themselves off the ledge of stealing money. You have some real interesting characters in Florida, I will say.
We really do. He kind of reminds me of Sheriff Grady Judd.
Yeah.
His accent and just the way he speaks.
Yeah, he just was lacking a sign. He just needed, yeah, he needed a sign. Yeah. All right, maybe Seattle isn't the only city that's beefing with Amazon, although ours are totally made up beefs where they don't think Amazon is doing enough. But Miami-Dade County is getting ready to fine Amazon approximately $2.6 million. Why?
Yeah, so Amazon had a non-contested sale of a piece of land down in Homestead. And they purchased it so that they could build a big multi-million square foot warehouse for their company. And part of the deal with the county who owns the land was that they were going to provide at least 325 jobs that paid at least $38,000 a year.
Okay.
And they are now closing that facility for about 2 years to renovate the facility to retrofit it for a new use through the company. But they're saying everybody that was working there now has to drive to a different facility in order to keep their jobs. So the county's kind of holding them to the agreement that, like, people shouldn't have to drive to like 40 miles to Miami to keep their jobs. That's not part of our agreement. So they're going to fine them for every job that's no longer going to be there as per their agreement.
Yeah. Even if they come back and look, $2.6 million is nothing to Amazon if they really need to renovate the place. Although it's interesting, they can't keep some people working there in the fulfillment center while they renovate such a massive space, or are they going to do it all at once? I don't know. But if they think it's the best business decision and they're willing to eat that $2.6 million, they're just going to do it. But look, if you had an agreement with the government to do one thing and you did something else and the benefit that you got, I mean, this was the agreement, then I don't have an issue with the county fining them. All right, Florida revealing a new course launching in high schools next year. What is it?
The history of communism will be part of the curriculum. They're launching a couple new history units. So it'll be two history units about the United States before and after 1877, and then a mandatory curriculum of learning about the woes of communism for grades K through 12.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, Hassan Piker, like the new darling of the left, which is, I'm like, please, Democrats, keep cozying up to Hassan Piker. Yeah. I mean, he's like he celebrates communism. And I'm like, have you literally never read a book about the horrors that took place? And there's still people who survived those horrors who, you know, now live in the United States and just can't believe the direction towards socialism and communism. And so, you know, it sounds like they're trying to sell it to these kids as this wonderful thing, to each their needs, to each according to their ability. And it's like, no, that's actually a dangerous path we're going down. So I love that. Every high school student in America should be taught about communism.
Yeah, and this also includes, you know, current threats of communism building within the United States and its allies. So it's not just the history of it. It's also where and how it's kind of growing in the States right now and how to, like, understand why that's just not going to be feasible for us.
Yeah, and hopefully when they learn the real history and the dangers of it, you know, kids will understand that that's not a cool, shiny thing, even if a podcaster is talking about it. All right, Miranda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Not even controversial. Wait, I was curious about that last one because I have some reservations about teaching communism and the history of communism only because I always have concerns about who the teacher will be and how closely they're going to be monitored. So I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll to weigh in on this. I asked you whether you think for American high schoolers, there should be some sort of mandatory lesson or class teaching them about communism. Nicole, should it be required? Yes or no?
Yes, but I think there should be a historical curriculum, like a historically approved curriculum.
I'm less worried about it in Florida. I'd be more worried about it here. My answer would be no if I'm talking about Washington State, because I do not think, based on what we know of our public school system, that they could come up with an accurate curriculum that wouldn't paint communism and socialism as some wonderful ideology. So if the question is about Florida, yes. If the question is about Washington State, hell to the no. No, no, no. 94% of you, though, believe that there should be some sort of mandatory lesson on this. Pink Lady says, I'm so tired of hearing that communism or socialism just wasn't done right. It's a lame reason for something that never works. Well, except for the cronies at the top implementing it. But whoever teaches it must show the failures. Bill says, yes, but I'm not sure they don't already have them from the Chinese government position. Until we fix the teachers' unions that propagandize our kids, what hope do we have that the teaching of the students that they receive is not from a communist? Right, because it very much... Imagine a communist teaching them about communism. And as he said, you know, from the Chinese government's position, they'll probably just find a lesson plan from communist China, from the Communist Party.
And it would just have that, you know, the feel good, like, then it's fair. Everything's fair.
Everything's fair. It feels really nice. Bill Ferguson, are you related to Bob Ferguson? Something tells me not. Mm-hmm. I've raised three kids in Washington. It has amazed me how little they are taught. I don't think that I don't remember being taught about communism or any communist regimes per se. I guess you learn about like Hitler and the socialists,
right?
But I don't remember like learning about the Bolsheviks, for instance, or anything that deep in high school.
I feel like it might have been like a chapter.
Maybe.
You know, in a history book that I don't even know if they still use those history books. That's the thing is, I think everybody just hands out flyers now. They just like print out what they want to print out and teach kids. Where we used to have a big, giant book and we went through all the chapters.
Yeah. If I learned about it, it wasn't something very memorable to me, at least. Mm-hmm. Lynn says maybe even have it along with how horrible socialism in history has been as a prerequisite for universities as well. They definitely should be learning about it at universities. But again, I don't trust our institutions of higher education. So it's difficult. It's difficult because it always comes down to who the messenger is. All right. Wasn't it nice to see Wes Jones last night? I gave a speech to the women of Washington in Bellevue and had a great time. And one of the members is Wes Jones's mom, who's the nicest woman. So I met Wes Jones's mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wes is like, oh, I'll come too. So even though it was women of Washington, you can bring like your husbands or significant others or something. So we got to see Wes last night. We were chatting a little bit about the housing market is crazy right now in terms of people trying to leave. He said he just got a call with somebody who wanted to move to Texas, just sent some undivided viewers down to Arizona who left. And I hate to hear that, obviously. But if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones. Kyle R. gives him 5 stars. We had a great experience selling our house with Wes and team. Great communication, all the resources, tough negotiator, and valuable advisor. He made our house shine and helped us get a tough property sold. Would 100% do business with him again. I asked Wes last night, I said, what do you say when somebody's like, I want to move to Texas? And he's like, nothing, but hey, I'm going to get your house sold fast as I can for the highest possible price. He's like, what else do I? He's like, because that's what they want me to do. So I guess as Wes, he's not going to turn away their business and say, don't move, and try to convince them not to leave. But it's sad to see so many people leaving. But if you are, reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com. And even if you're not leaving the state, but you're just moving elsewhere across the street even. And you can see some of the listings that he's sold recently for clients, get an idea of what he's able to achieve, and then reach out to him for a free market analysis, especially as so many of these home sales are ramping up as people try to escape. It definitely impacts how many other listings there are, can impact how long it takes to sell your home, the value you can get for your home, etc. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. Oh, this is nice. The first comment from Sean Miller, $20 for picking on Brandy on Tuesday. Although I should apologize to him because I called him a liar because he's like, you said you'd kick your dog. I'm like, no, I didn't. Why would I ever say I'd kick my dog? And then I watched back and I was like, oh, I would have kicked her to get her to stop licking her leg. So I was like, oh, technically I did say that, but of course would never kick my dog.
I think it's hilarious that you went back and checked.
Because I was like, I wouldn't say that.
Sure I didn't say that. Dogs, did I say that?
She's my best friend. She's my best friend.
The listeners don't lie.
2 days until she gets her stitches out. 2 days and this horrible nightmare we've been in with her comes to an end. So I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
On one of my attackers being charged, Watermelon Shug says, I Googled her. Does that GoFundMe that pops up belong to her? So I can't say with certainty, but there is a GoFundMe run by someone in Seattle. It says Seattle. GoFundMe is her name, and it's to bring her family here from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm aware of that GoFundMe. I do not know definitively that it belongs to her, but we're looking into it, let's just say. Mo Sterling, she's hoping for a jury nullification, probably. And that's what happened down in Portland when Nick Sorter got assaulted on camera, and a Portland jury said the person was not guilty. It's like, it's on camera. So what do you do? I don't know what they're hoping for, but yeah, maybe a real woke jury or something. But I have confidence in my fellow citizens. Mostly. Wow. Kevin Chambers says,
I don't know where they get there in King County. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Kevin Chambers, she should be easy to find. If she was at one protest, she's at others as well and will appear at future protests. But I don't know. If you get charged, for most people, getting charged with a crime is a significant event in their life, unless you're a frequent flyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that for some of these people, you know, that charge is a wake-up call for them that there are real consequences where there otherwise haven't been. So I don't know. I mean, I don't need her to go to prison for 10 years, but I need her to understand that you can't go around assaulting people.
Right.
On Callie giving boob jobs to the homeless, that's what I'm going to do. I tell you what, if they drop one more inch, I'm going down to California. I'm putting an accent on. I'm dressing as a homeless, and I'm going into one of these things saying, give me my breast augmentation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Natural, obviously, not like that one. You know, something natural.
Yeah.
I have no filter, do I?
Oh,
zero filter. What's I'm amongst friends. Why would I have
how
a filter?
How y'all feel?
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking
Let's
about.
Line up.
I'm going to be 40 soon.
Maybe that's the only way to get them to change their policies, to have people do this.
Well, and I thought that
we'll all just stand outside.
Yes.
We're here for our boob jobs.
But honestly, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about girl sports. Mm-hmm. Is like there needs to be some men, some like pro athletes who decide that they're going to go, you know, from the NBA to the WNBA for a game. Nope. I'm in the WNBA now. Here I am. And they just need to absolutely destroy the women.
Right. Or I hate to put this on kids again, but or a bunch of like the boys basketball team to say, oh, OK, we're going to play too on the girls basketball team.
Yes.
If that particular if that happens at their school.
100%.
OK, well, I guess we all are.
It would be done like that. Done like that. I guess we know we're going on our next vacation.
Suspended.
We're down to California. I'm on it. Tammy Jensen, this is terrible. Our tax dollars should not now or ever be used for sex change surgeries for prison inmates or anyone else. Anything else that's a an elective surgery, it's elective. We don't need to pay for it. CP, so the medical system doesn't care about actual women but gives men who want to be women boobs. Make it make sense. No, because I cannot make it make sense. On the union's mob mentality, late night with Tina, Brandy, they will not put me on the schedule if I refuse to pay my union dues. Oh, interesting. So if you are like in a service workers union, you're saying that if you don't, if you opt out of the union, they'll punish you by not putting you on the schedule. If they do that, you need an attorney. And we have a bunch of good attorneys who would take that up in a second. Graham Robbins, unions are organized crime that is authorized to operate with tacit approval by state, local and federal governments. I agree. On the Metro fare enforcement fail, which is such a fail. I would be embarrassed to even put that report together.
Right?
Absolutely embarrassed to type those numbers out.
I didn't pull out of it, but the end is, and don't worry, we're ready for the World Cup.
Yeah.
That's what it says at the end.
Oh my goodness. I don't give a Chuck. Boop, brought to you by me. Thank you, Chuck, for your daily unbelievable sponsorship. Big Princess, another waste of funding and resources. Nothing surprises me to 2026. Okay. your name is Nothing Surprises Me. The first part of your comment is, I'm shocked. But I think it's a joke. I'm shocked they released this fare data because it seems like another thing they would just sweep under the rug, which of course means it never happened. The jokes in Seattle just don't end. So something does surprise you. You might need to change your name. Mm-hmm. On Florida Report, Greg O. DeSantis is assigning special prosecutors to stop fraud while the West Coast is assigning prosecutors to hide fraud. Yeah, shaming. Literally. I mean, literally, they're trying. Yes, literally, in the bill in California.
I hate to use that word too often.
Literally. But it is literal. Doug Cobb. I immediately thought of corn on the cob. And doesn't that sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if it warmed up a little bit.
Although I crave it more in sunshine.
Yeah, that's what I said. If it warmed up.
Yeah.
Do you cut it or do you put the little things in then?
I do that.
Like a little beaver.
I do not cut it.
Yeah, no, cutting it. It's like, why wouldn't I just get canned corn? If I'm going to cut it off the cob, I would just get canned corn.
Oh, I hate canned corn. That's the nastiest stuff.
Yeah, but I'll eat it if I have to. Leland Taylor. It blows my mind that this hasn't been mandatory in schools for 100 years. Yeah, especially like, you know, after some of the events of the last century.
You don't think you have to make these laws or these rules or laws or whatever because you're like, oh, it's history. They teach history in school. So let's teach them accurate history of what socialism, communism, whatever it is does. So you don't think you need a law for this crap. Like you should just teach it accurately and move on.
Well, it's such a huge, significant part of history and some of the worst parts of modern human history. But like, why would you gloss over it?
Right. And you let people get in there that skew it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Big Princess with a $10 super chat says, with no shows next week, sending Moon Goddess positive thoughts and prayers. And apparently our subscriber Moon Goddess is having surgery on her heart.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Well, OK, we will be absolutely sending you positive thoughts and prayers and let everyone know how it goes when you're able to do so. So we'll be thinking about our dear friend Moon Goddess. All right. We'll get to her closing sanity check, which I should have picked something else because it's just going to piss me off sending everyone into the weekend on such a low note, especially when we have no shows next week. Sorry, but I already chose it. There's no going back. First, if you are trying to save some money as a family, which who isn't, and after tax day, it was funny. My tax guy, really quick before we get to this, he messaged me and he must have seen my video where I was saying that I was depressed yesterday about how my taxes went. And he says, I LOL'd at your video about being depressed about tax day. And I'm like, it's not, it has nothing to do with you per se. It has to do with the IRS and the fact that I woke up today feeling absolutely poor and I'm just angry about it. So yes, I too am looking for ways to save money. And if you are, maybe high gas prices or tax day really got you down in blue. Reach out to Firstmark Insurance, firstmarkinsurance.com. Now I know my tax guy watches my stuff, which is nice of him. He's a nice man. Firstmark Insurance can help you navigate this complex world of insurance, whether it's for your business needs or your personal needs. I use them for both. Absolutely love Firstmark. And one of the things I like is, you know, they had a policy they wanted to update on mine this year, and I reached back out to him and I said, can you explain, like, you're explaining to a five-year-old what this does that the old one doesn't? And I just love that they, you know, don't treat you like you're stupid, and they go through why they're recommending what they're recommending. And it's just, I think, the least stressful that insurance could possibly be. So firstmarkinsurance.com, take the Firstmark challenge today. They'll go out, they'll shop their market of carriers, come back with their recommendations. And like so many Undivided viewers and listeners, they could, bam, just like that, be saving you hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. This doesn't give me a great deal of hope on how Hennepin County is going to be handling the Savannah Hernandez assault. We already know they're not charging one of the individuals, even though it's on camera. They say they're charging the other two, but they had a big press conference this morning, not because of what happened to Savannah, but because they announced that they are charging a 35-year-old ICE agent, Gregory Morgan, with felony assault. Here's the Hennepin County attorney, Mary Moriarty.
Today, our office has charged Gregory Donnell Morgan, an Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE agent, with two counts of second-degree assault. There is now a warrant for Mr. Morgan's arrest, which allows law enforcement to arrest him anywhere in the country. On February 5th, Mr. Morgan was driving illegally on the shoulder of eastbound Highway 62, or the crosstown. The victim, who is driving, briefly moved their vehicle into the shoulder to slow him down. Mr. Morgan was driving a rented SUV with no markings or other features to indicate that it was an ICE vehicle. After the victim's vehicle moved back into the legal lane, Mr. Morgan sped up to pull alongside the victim's vehicle. Mr. Morgan then visibly slowed his vehicle to match the pace of the victim's vehicle, opened his window, and pointed his duty weapon directly at both victims in the other vehicle while continuing to drive illegally on the shoulder. The driver called 911 while the passenger began to video the SUV when it pulled into the lane in front of them. We have charged Mr. Morgan with two counts of second-degree assault, one count for each victim, for threatening the victims with a dangerous weapon.
So he could face up to 3 years in prison. And because it is being brought at the state level, this ICE agent could not get a presidential pardon. Now, look, some of what she describes there does sound concerning to me. If I was driving on the road and someone was speeding down the side and they had literally no markings whatsoever and they rolled down their window and pulled a gun on me, I cannot tell you that I wouldn't be alarmed in that moment and that I wouldn't call 911 in that moment. I wasn't there. I don't know if the way she's describing it is accurate. But one thing that these officials in places like Minnesota and Washington State and California are never willing to factor in and are never willing to take accountability for is the hostile and threatening environment that these ICE agents have been working under. The reason why when somebody swerves in front of them, they might feel like it's a protester or an activist or someone dangerous trying to hurt them. That has to be factored into the equation. And these states and these leaders need to do more to tamp down the violent rhetoric and actions toward our ICE agents, not just prosecute them when they respond in a way to that violent rhetoric and to those violent actions that they don't like. That has been our closing sanity check. Before you go, Nicole, as another reminder, we have no live shows next week. We will not be missing any episodes of Sundays with Subscribers. We'll have an episode on Sunday as well as the following Sunday, and then we'll be back with our regular live shows. We will have some exclusive content out next week as well, so we're not abandoning you entirely. Nicole's going to Costa Rica to enjoy an early birthday, and I'm going down to Cabo just for 3 or 4 days, a little short trip, because I can't be away from my dog for very long because she's going to be better, and I'm going to spend the rest of the week next week taking her swimming. All the things she hasn't been able to do for 4 months. So have a fantastic weekend. Subscribers, I'll see you on Sunday. The rest of you can look out for some of our bonus content coming out next week. And we would love your support of our show. It's how this show is possible, by people just like you who enjoy it, who find value in it, and who think it's worth $5 a month. So go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show, and you're there. And you also get to be part of this wonderful community on Patreon. We also have a locals community, but our Patreon community is the largest community that we have, and be part of our daily subscriber show polls, our conversations on Sundays, etc., etc., etc. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. TTYL.